Sometimes as you're travelling through things in life that you'd rather not be travelling through, you can get to imagining that any promise of God's blessing of an abundant life must be a promise for some time way off in the future, certainly not for here and now. But what if I told you that he means it absolutely for here and now? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to chat about the blessing that God wants to pour out on you from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about a free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you get a handle on what he's actually up to in your life. I sometimes think that Jesus would have benefited from the services of a good PR consultant. You know, a spin doctor to dress up some of the difficult messages he had to get across. I mean, take this one, for instance. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 24. Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." I mean, that picture of a cross is a brutal one. It's a picture of being nailed to a cross and dying a gruesome death. "If any of you want to become my disciple," said Jesus, "deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." Give me a break. I mean, who wants to follow someone like that? I want to be healthy, wealthy and wise. I want to live life on easy street. Take up my cross? You've got to be kidding me. Yeah, Jesus could have used a good public relations consultant to get some spin on this message, to make it more palatable. No wonder it says in John's Gospel that many turned away from him. Have a listen. "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless," said Jesus. "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that would believe in him and who were the ones that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." And because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Yeah, the guy definitely needed a spin doctor. And you know something? I so often hear people speaking about Jesus, whether it's a preacher preaching or a person telling me what Jesus is doing in their lives. And what I hear is not this gritty, authentic Jesus who was prepared to lose followers in a world where the measure of a rabbi's success, a key performance indicator back then, was the number of followers or disciples he had. Jesus was prepared to lose followers, lots of them, because he wouldn't play by the world's rules. He never let them squeeze him into their mold. You know, they were looking for a Messiah, a king like David, a powerful warrior to raise up an army and boot the Romans out of the promised land. That's what Israel was believing for when Jesus came on the scene. After he miraculously fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the crowd wanted to grab him and appoint him king. I mean, this guy was definitely the Messiah. Can you imagine that? He's been wandering around out there in the fields, speaking and wooing the crowds, doing some amazing miracles. Here he is, this obscure carpenter's son from Nazareth. I mean, Nazareth of all places. Does anything good come out of there? And finally, Jesus is about to hit the big time. They want to make Jesus their king. Finally, they recognize how good he really is, and they want to make him king. Woohoo! So what does Jesus do? John chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus realized that they're about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. He withdraws. "Jesus, what's the matter with you? You've made it. Success at last. What are you doing?" He didn't just need a spin doctor. He needed a couple of good strategic planning consultants as well. And he continued his journey, his inexorable journey to that ugly, brutal cross where he was nailed and left to suffocate, hanging by nails through his hands and his feet. And he tells us why he did that. He tells us in this outrageous promise why he did that. Listen to it again with me. John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." He did this contrary to the thief, this thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He did it that we may have life, real life, and have it abundantly. Literally, it says in the original Greek language that sits at the back of our English translation, it says super abundantly. Now, he wasn't talking here just about eternal life. Sure, he came that we could have eternal life, and that's something we're going to look at tomorrow. But he's talking about our lives here and now. And in this passage, he's painting a stark contrast between the imposter and the truth. Let's listen to it again. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the true shepherd. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but they'll run from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech to them, but they didn't understand what he was saying. So again, he said, look, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and bandits, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come and go and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, well, the hired hand sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you see the contrast in this passage? Do you see the difference between the real shepherd and the imposter, the true shepherd and the stranger, the good shepherd and the hired hand, Jesus and the thief who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy? One sharp contrast after another. The real thing, Jesus, and all those imposters, the devil, and the thin, hollow promises of this world. And it's only the true shepherd who brings abundant life, and we know him. His seal of authenticity is this. He is the one who's prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. He is the one who is prepared to step out of heaven, become a man, and be nailed to a cross. So, we can bow down to the imposters. Just as the devil said to Jesus when he dangled all the kingdoms of the world under his nose in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, the devil said, to you, I will give that glory and all this authority, for it's been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you will then worship me, the devil said to Jesus, it will all be yours. Yeah, okay. We can do that. We can bow down to that. But listen to me. I don't care how tempting it is. I don't care how seductive it looks. That thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. Or we can lay hold of this abundant life by living in this truth. Luke chapter 4, verse 8. Jesus answered the devil, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Friend, that's where the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us is to be found. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. And I know, friend, I know how seductive the things of this world are. And it's not that we can't have a car or a house or the things we need and maybe even some things we like. It's not that at all. God wants us to enjoy his creation. God wants us to be blessed. But the moment we put those things ahead of God, the moment the things and the temptations of this world, the glory of the kingdoms of this world come ahead of our God, we have bowed our life down to the thief. And remember, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional, a scripture verse with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to your inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? At web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.